The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, welcome back. And what do you have in the news?
Thank you. You know, do you remember the movie The Titanic back in the 90s?
Sure.
This just came out and it kind of floored me. On August 9th, 1996, as was reported by Entertainment Weekly at the time, more than 50 members of the crew ate chowder as part of a late-night meal during the shoot in Nova Scotia. Unfortunately, this meal resulted in dozens going to the hospital for what was initially suspected to be food poisoning. However, it was later discovered that everyone was high on PCP. Someone laced the chowder with the drug in question, and somewhere around 60 people ate it, throwing the production into turmoil.
Wow. Do you think this is the same situation when the Titanic went down in 1912? That captain was on PCP?
It's quite possible. He made some really bad decisions.
He did.
Right?
And if you're on PCP, you make some pretty bad.
I don't even know if that stuff was around back then. Do you?
I
thought you would know.
Yeah, you would think. That's an interesting story. I got one for you. A shipment of baby wipes turns out to be $11.8 million worth of cocaine. Nearly 1,500 pounds of alleged cocaine was seized by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers at the U.S.-Mexican border, according to officials. The estimated street value of that narcotic was $11.8 million.
Jeez.
Can you imagine?
No.
It's horrible. Can you imagine the guy that thought he was going to get away with this?
Yeah, especially in baby wipes. I would think that's a bad place to hide it. You know, I mean, if you were customs and you saw these bricks of baby wipes coming through, I would definitely think that, you know, maybe something's going on there.
Yeah, really. It's absolute insanity. Okay, let's do this. When we come back from this break, we have an incredible story about a family from suburban Philadelphia who has a documentary that just came out. In fact, today, released in New York, and it's about the turmoil and addiction in their family. This is an incredible story. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campus in Devon, PA and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY. Recovery today.
Hey everybody, this is former Philadelphia Flyer Chris Terrien, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Linda Garrity is a mom of three children. And two of her children got into drugs pretty heavily. There was a lot of addiction in the house. And I'm sure all of our listeners and viewers will relate to this incredible story, which has been made into a documentary. And the movie's being released, as I said, today in New York and Los Angeles. So it's very exciting. I saw the film this week, and it is incredibly powerful. And I really encourage everybody to look out for this film, Our American Family. It's just absolutely amazing. So we are very honored to have the mom, Linda, here, and her son, Stephen, who was the one kid who didn't get an addiction. And that's another subject, why, Stephen, you didn't and your two siblings did. Powerful story. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're just glad to have you, glad to have you back. I just want to say this before we start. This documentary and the show today shows that we are not alone in these most difficult situations in our homes. You know, if you think that this only happens to certain types of people, it's not true. It can happen to anybody. This is National Recovery Month, so this is very apropos this show today. And guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you
so much, Gary.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Linda, why did you decide to do this documentary and how did it come about?
So it came about because one of my friends, Haley, she was writing a book, and she, one of the characters in her book was an addict. So she started interviewing me about what that's like. And I had her talk to Nicole, my daughter. Yes. And she also interviewed Stephen because there was a sibling in there that wasn't an addict. So we got close, and Nicole was having a lot of issues at that time. She kept overdosing. And I would tell Haley about that. And so it was frustrating. And she, you know, I don't know, one day she just said, you know, maybe we should document this. And it really just came about like that. It was, we just thought we were documenting, doing a couple interviews, and that would be kind of it. But it just kind of turned into something else.
So you had a crew at your house for a year. How did that make you – could you act normally, or it was always like, we can't say this, we can't say that?
Oh, we were normal. I mean, because they came in so much, they would come in every 3 or 4 weeks for like 5 to 7 days. And after – we were just living our lives. And after they were there maybe 5 minutes, you really did forget they were there.
Really?
You really did. Sometimes you even brought – you know, you were mic'd up and forgot you were in the bathroom and they could hear everything. So it'd be like, turn. You really, because we had a lot going on at that time, and you just forget they're there. And plus they were really great people, and we felt that they were part of the family, really, truly.
Well, I've seen the movie twice, and it really showed everything about what can happen to a family in the midst of addiction. And it's, you know, luckily for you guys, the end's a good story. But I'm sure that everybody who sees this, Mark, will be able to absolutely relate to this. You know, there was some funny stuff, you know, we saw in the movie. You know, there's always funny stuff with addiction, but most of it's really, I don't want to say disturbing, but I think maybe because it brought me back to my own crap. And it's really, you know, Stephen, you're the guy that probably, besides your mom, was most affected by this. You're the one who, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you're the one who didn't have an addiction. I'm wondering, you know, if you had feelings, you know, of anger, embarrassment, frustration. Maybe you didn't want to bring kids over to the house. You don't know what was going to happen. You really, besides your mom, you bore the brunt of this, I'm sure.
There was a lot of situations that I went through growing up where I was embarrassed to have some friends over where, you know, if my brother or sister were there. But for the most part, I really had a good time with my mom and stepdad in the household. That was when my brother or sister was in rehab at the time or venturing off on whatever else they were doing. And so I did have a lot of resentment for them because I feel like I wasn't old enough to understand exactly what they were going through. You know, I have had experiences when I was a kid throughout high school. Like everybody else, I smoked marijuana and drank alcohol and on weekends and when I could. But I never wanted to take it the next step. There's some kids that want to take it the next step that go and do harder drugs. But for me and my friends, it was more so about – it was always like a matter of having fun.
Do you think you had a choice?
To
fall into that or not?
I do not think that you have a choice. I think that people are born addicted to a substance or they can be born an addict. And then later on in life, it'll show as they get older – everybody gets an opportunity to smoke weed once, and I've seen so many people just identify so heavily with the substance that they lose track of who they actually are, and then they fall down the rabbit hole of just identifying with the substance. So then they lose, you know, a big part of their personality, which is hard to find when they're trying to get sober later on.
Linda, do you think in any way that Stephen fell by the wayside because you were so focused on the other two kids? And, you know, I know in our family it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all your energy and craziness is to the kids in the most trouble.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I would forget to even check in with him sometimes. I'm ashamed to say that, but it was the way it was. All of our energy, me and Brian, all of our energy was towards them. Just, you know, there was just so much going on. And it demanded so much attention all the time. And Stephen wasn't a person who really asked for attention. Mm-hmm. It felt like Stephen was always good. You know, that was kind of the mantra in the house. Well, Stephen's good. And unfortunately, that caused problems too, you know. So it's not – it wasn't the best thing to say Stephen's always just good. So, yeah, later on we figured that out.
And, Mark, somebody like Stephen could have gone the other way. He could have started acting out to get the attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where it had to be tough just to kind of – you're doing the right thing, but you're not getting the attention. And then your brothers and sisters are doing the wrong thing and getting the attention. It had to be really difficult.
A lot of the time, I didn't even feel as if I was doing the right thing. I felt like I was doing the normal thing, and then it would get very frustrating why my brother or sister couldn't do the normal thing. Mm-hmm. And then it boils down to what is normal and what's not. And, you know, am I being judgmental of what they're going mm-hmm. through? And, you know, for the longest time, I had so much confusion around it. And then when my mom suggested that I went go to Alateen, I started going every Tuesday night, and that's when things started to change. I started meeting people that were going through very, very similar things to a T, and it just, you know, created a whole new world for me at the end of the day.
You weren't alone with it at that point.
Absolutely.
You know, did you do sports and things?
Sports were a huge part of my life. So ever since I was a little kid, I played baseball, you know, about 4 years old up, and then I experimented with other sports in middle school and, you know, high school, like football, and then I wrestled throughout high school as well. And, you know, the team building in wrestling was like it was a huge aspect for me. Still really good friends with everybody that's on the team or that was on the team. Yeah. And, yeah, it was really nice.
So you guys were in, we call it kind of fight or flight as a family, where it was for you, Linda, it was survival, right? It
yes,
was survival, and you were running on this fight or flight. And
it really was. And when you're in fight or flight, you just have this one view. You know, it's very just one view here, and so you don't see from one side to the other. And so Stephen was on the one side or the other.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Boy, I can, you know, you'll see the movie. You really have to see this. I don't think there was a dry eye in the whole theater. It was so powerful. Unbelievable.
It was written about in the New York Times today.
Yeah, yesterday, I believe. And that was very – That was a moment where I was driving in the car and I found out, so I had to pull over. The only other time, well, there's two other times, but one of the other times I had to do that was when I found out Stephen became class president, and I was driving and I had to pull over because I couldn't believe, because we were in the middle of all this other stuff. And that was the moment where I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I was still dealing with something with Nicole and I had to put that aside. And then that was kind of a moment for me, you know, where I realized, you know, what was going on.
Stephen, did you feel protective of your mom and Brian during all this, that they were, could you understand and could you see what was going on here?
I just saw how hard they worked at trying to keep everybody, you know, one single unit and just keep all of us happy at the same time. They're thick and thin. I just saw how hard they worked, and it inspired me to just want to be the best possible person that I could have been. And that, you know, that made it a little bit difficult throughout high school. I would come home and not act myself sometimes. I would act as if I was way more solid than I really was, because I just felt like they deserved that.
Did anybody, any of your friends, I'm going to ask you first and then your mom, know what was going on in your house?
Yeah, all of my friends pretty much. I was pretty open about it from the jump, you know, even with teachers, guidance counselors.
They all knew?
Yeah, for the most part. I was very open about it. We never really were, you know, shy about what we were going through, because we felt like if we were able to talk about it, it would make everything better at the end of the day.
Did the school try to do any kind of intervention? I don't know if they even do that. But knowing that you were in, you were in trouble yourself.
I'm sorry to cut you off. A big thing for me, like when I became class president, I wanted to implement a program at the school that I went to for students to talk after school about some of the traumatic things that they could potentially be going through at home.
Did that happen?
The problem with that when we wrote out the whole plan was that there wasn't going to be a teacher that would be able to foresee everything, like oversee everything and get the paperwork intact. So they said it was going to be hard. But they started one thing called the Speak Up program, which I really believe that was a big success. And, we had different therapists come to our school. I'm not even sure what kind of credentials they had, but, you know, everybody talked about their problems one night, and it was really nice. Everybody that was involved with that program had a friend at the school that was going through something similar.
And probably you're the one that initiated this whole program.
It's funny that I was actually the only guy involved in the entire program when we did the Speak Up program.
Yeah.
I think I was like one of two or three out of 45 students that were men to help out with it.
Well, that was great, right?
Yeah, I think so, 100%. Yeah. I think that a lot of other men out there, a lot of young men need to, you know, get in touch with some of this stuff. There's a lot of like real situations that are going on here. And if we're more honest with ourselves at the end of the day, then we will, you know, be more happy.
As I said before we went on, you are way past your age. You know, this whole process of what went on in your house, I'm sure, matured you in a lot of ways.
In ways that it had to. I would say in like different situations, there's obviously another side to me, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I want everybody to get clean if they are struggling with this.
Yeah. Linda, did you have any issues with your friends? Did they know about this? Because a lot of people, even if they're friendly with you, and they don't either get it or they don't want any part of it.
Right. So at that time, I would say that the only real friends I had were the ones that were in parent support group. You know, so I didn't have time for other things. You know, I was running a business, and the people that I was close with, the women and men that were in parent support group. So this way you could talk about it, and they understood.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Listen, if you're just joining us right now, Mark and I are speaking with Stephen and his mom, Linda, and we're talking about what happens in a house when there's addiction, the issues, and I'm sure many people can relate to this. Why don't you give us a call at 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941. Join this conversation. It's very interesting, and I am sure, Mark, everybody listening or viewing can relate to some piece of this.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear your experience with it, you know, how you got through it, if you have a family member that's using. And, you know, it is amazing how much it affects the entire family. Everybody takes on different roles. I was wondering for you, Linda, was there ever a time when this was going on when you were able to kind of set it aside and relax? I mean, like to go on a trip or something, or was it constantly
no, it was
there?
Constant.
I think I know the answer.
Yeah, it was constant. I mean, my husband and I were just laughing. We took Giovanna, my granddaughter, away a few weeks ago for 5 days down the shore. And it was different, and I couldn't figure out why. I got home, and I said, it's just like, it was okay. I mean, but I couldn't figure out what was missing. And Brian said what was missing was a drama. This is the first time we went away, and there was nothing. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I think I might have to go to therapy about that, because I don't know that I had a great – like, I'm so used to jumping in and that fight or flight like you were talking about. That's how I lived. So I guess I have to get used to a different way of living, which I'm fine doing. But
you know, we have to mention – sort of the stars of the show, which are your other two kids, Nicole and Christopher, and they're doing really well now, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, I could not in my wildest dreams mm-hmm. have imagined what it's like right now. I just want to kind of bottle it because I know how this is, you know, just pray every day that they just keep staying sober and doing the next right thing.
You know, the great thing is when the kids get sober and things start going well, the only bad part I can think of is, and I have personal experience of this, is wondering mm-hmm. if it's going to continue or something's going to happen when the phone rings,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I guess it's best to have it in a good way now. And
for sure. I mean, I am the same way. I hate to say that out loud because I want my mm-hmm. kids to know that I believe in them. But it is very difficult to do that because you're so used to a shoe dropping. So I'm going to just get used to maybe things being good. I'm going to just expect it maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's you haven't gone through it. Hopefully you don't.
I have an 11-year-old and I pray all the time I don't. And, you know, I just can't imagine. And it must just be for you guys going through this a one day at a time thing, right? Where it's like,
it really
hey, I just got to focus on today and today's good.
Yes, absolutely. It's just today. Even for us, they say that for people struggling with substance abuse mm-hmm. disorder, but it's also for the family members. It's just one day at a time.
Yeah.
And when they're struggling and they're in their disorder, when they're out using, the thing that we tell ourselves as parents is they're just alive one more day. And that's another day that they might be able to get it. So you just want to keep them alive one more day. So that might be the day they get it. And that's what we, you know, that's what we always prayed for.
Yeah. Our phone number again is 1-888-728-9941. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, Linda, I really want to know how you held all this together for all these years. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
I was the fifth child born. My mom's youngest. She suffered with anorexia nervosa. It shows up just like addiction. She looked like she was dying all the time. I had goals and aspirations and it didn't matter. There was no regard for what I needed. It was about what she needed and what I needed to do to make that happen. With addiction, you grow up with it. You have a first husband with it. You have your kids that are struggling with it. I promised my kids, we all get out alive. We all survive this.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are also heard on these great radio stations across America. KDWN Las Vegas, Nevada, WHFS Tampa, Florida, and WGAC Augusta, Georgia. Linda, did you ever want to just run?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. I wanted to.
Right.
Sometimes I would get in my car and drive and scream until I couldn't stop screaming. And then I'd have, you see part of the film, I have laryngitis. It's probably because I was screaming in the car. So that's what I would do. I would just scream it out. Or I just walk for miles and miles and miles.
Wow.
Yoga, things like that, but yes.
But you are a yoga instructor.
I am, yeah.
And you have a yoga studio.
Well, COVID changed that, but okay, yes. Okay, we'll say yes.
Okay, so that was a diversion, was it?
Yeah, so when Christopher... Then I didn't realize he was using drugs. And when he turned 18, he left our home. And that day, he walked out the door and I was in my car following him, begging him to come back. It was the worst. And so I realized at that point I couldn't really control anything or fix anything. And it was either go down myself or find a way to show up every day. So that's why, that's one of the reasons I opened the business. The other reason was because I was working with people in recovery and they were asking me to have a space, you know, because we were going to do recovery programs. And it just worked out that I did find a place.
Yeah. Stephen, what was your release? What did you do to get out of your head?
I knew that going to college was always going to be the release for me. And, you know, throughout high school, obviously, you're in a more dramatic mindset as a teenager. I had my plans to leave, you know, like run away from the family and never come back. I don't have to talk to anybody ever again. Everybody is doing their thing, you know. But at the end of the day, I just saw how, you know, I was so grateful to be in school. And I knew that I wouldn't have been able to be in school and succeed in school if it wasn't for my mom and stepdad. And when they told me to just, you know, that I should have faith in my brother and sister, I didn't want to listen to them for years. I really didn't want to listen to them at all because I had my own experiences that were continuously negative for a good while. With more specifically Nicole, it was a little bit different with my brother Chris. But I just knew that my mom and stepdad had it all mapped out for us, and I really just started to trust them with everything. And once that happened while I was in college, I feel like everything I was able to, you know, that was a freeing feeling for me.
Can we talk about your biological father for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So he had addiction problems.
Yeah.
And when did you move – when did you were full-time with your mom? And then we'll talk about Brian for a minute.
Yeah, so when I was a child, you know, toddler and even 6-7 years old, my father was in the picture. We would stay at my grandparents' house for the most – that's my memory with him when I was a kid. We would stay at my grandparents' house. He was destructive, but, you know, like everybody, he loved sports and he would, you know, he had his own weird way of communicating about things that might have been very toxic. And I always knew it was. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't want to go to events with him, and I always looked forward to the nights that I'd spend with my mom.
Why didn't you want to? Were you embarrassed? Were you afraid of him?
I just knew it wasn't. I was a little bit afraid of him at the time. He had a lot of crazy outbursts when he was high on cocaine, and the girl that he was seeing at the time was very bad too. Luckily that, you know, he's not with her anymore. Things have changed a little bit since my childhood. I went years without talking to him, and now I'm in a place where I can, you know, have a, I consider it like a friendship, you know, we're okay. Able to talk about sports, music, all this stuff, and keep it at a good level for both of us. And, you know, we respect it. And he knows that Brian is my father. He knows that Brian raised me, and he respects that.
Brian is an unbelievable guy from what I know. I mean, you know, as I said when you were, when the preview of that movie, I said to him, did you ever want to, you know, did you ever have thoughts of running? And he said, no. That takes a lot. When it's not your biological kids, for somebody to stick around through such turmoil,
that's one in a million. That was a big part of it for me, was just how solid and how consistent my mama and stepdad stayed. it inspired me. It really just showed me that you need to keep on pushing with this regardless of anything. You know, I wanted to quit sports teams as a kid. No, I wasn't allowed to quit sports teams when I was a kid because you have to keep on pushing. And that's the message that they've always told me that has helped me get out of many, many jams. And, you know, if you're ever in a bad spot, to just always look up at what could be positive, the silver lining out of anything. So that's what they told me.
This guy is so mature. I'm feeling bad about myself.
Yeah. I mean,
wait, you're 24, right?
Yes, sir.
24 more. What were you doing?
Well, I think he's more mature than you and I are at this day. To this day.
That's a very, very good point. Listen, if you need help, help is available. Call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. And also, if you're just listening to the show and you want to watch us, go on Facebook to our Facebook page, which is Clean and Sober Radio. Like these incredible people, we're just going to we have a lot of people watching this show. Debbie Reynolds, Dustin Green is watching. Stephen Sussman, hello from Palm Beach, Florida. John Logue says hi to you and me. Kathy Wolf Collin. Stephen Sussman answered your question, by the way, about PCP. It was developed in the 1950s as an intravenous anesthetic. We could always count on Dr. Sussman.
Absolutely.
Right? Mark Smith. Michelle Petrosky Moon is watching. Holly Herman Hoops is watching. Holly, how are you? Bob Moeller, another Friday, another great show. Thank you so much. We'll get to the rest of the people in a little while.
Except for my wife.
Oh,
my lovely wife, Andrea. I call her Flower now, so she's watching.
Flower?
Yeah, it's like a nickname, you know? Like, you know.
A term of endearment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. You like it?
Your wife's great, and we're glad your whole family's feeling well.
Thank you.
Let me see. Okay, let's get back to the movie. So where do you see this going? I mean, I know it's in some theaters and it's also going to be on other mediums, right?
Yeah, it's going to be, oh gosh.
I think I got it.
You got it? Thank you.
First of all, it's opening today in New York at the Cinema Village and in Los Angeles at the Lemony Monica?
That sounds right.
Something like that. Also, and you're going to have to explain this. No, Stephen will have to explain this.
Let's have Stephen
VOD do it. Platforms September 6th, such as U.S. Apple, TV, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu Canada, Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play in England, Apple TV, and iTunes. Man, you're getting a rollout pretty good here.
And it's sold out in some places right now. That's what I saw on the message board.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
You know what that shows? That shows that there are people that are really interested in this subject, and they want to feel that they're not alone.
Right. That was always the goal, you know, because we know we're just one family. And we also know that there are so many other families suffering the same way. You know, every family looks a little different, but the same dynamic a lot of the times. So we are very happy that we're able to put our family out there and have other families connect with us. I've been receiving emails of ways that it has helped people, ways that I didn't even think of, right? So not even surrounding addiction, just family stuff.
You know, Linda and Stephen, we say here that, you know, you get clean, that's one part. You get sober, your brain starts to connect in a good way. And then there's giving back. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing. And you don't know how many people's lives you've changed and saved when this film comes out. You don't know.
Well, there's been so many angels that came along the way. When you say, how did you keep going? It's because right when I was ready to give up, something came. Somebody came. Brian really did come in at a real moment in our lives, and I would say he was the biggest angel that our family had. I don't know that we'd be where we are without him. I really don't think so. So it was just about then continuing to fight. And right now with this, with the movie, it's just another way to fight this disease and to help people. Yes, we are very honored and excited to give back at this point.
And you're very special because a lot of people wouldn't do this for a million reasons. They don't want to put it out there, you know, all this kind of stuff. But if you don't put it out there, you know, it's like anonymity. I personally don't believe in anonymity. I think that makes it more of a secret.
Same.
And by what you're doing, you're putting it out there, and it's just, you know, it's incredible.
And what's so important about that, it just from a therapist's point of view, is the family secret. Mm-hmm. You know, like this thing, that that's how this thing really, really keeps going. It's a big secret, you mm-hmm. know. So
yeah.
You're as sick as your secrets, right,
yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, this is National Recovery Month across America. So this is great that we're doing this today.
Sure is.
And, you know, the more this is put out, the more stuff that goes out, the more people that are aware of this, the better off everybody's going to be.
Yeah, and I got a quick question for Linda. And Linda, what would you say to that mother or father or couple out there that right now is dealing with this? They have one or two kids that are out in active addiction. Mm-hmm. Is there any advice that you would give them?
Absolutely. The best advice I can give is save your energy for what's important. There's so many things I wasted my energy on, like, for instance, just reading texts. You do not just have somebody read through them and find out if there's something in there that's important. That was Brian does that for me or did that. I haven't had to do that in over a year now because Christopher's mm-hmm. clean it. But don't waste your time reading that. It's all crap. It's not real. It's just a bunch of... Don't get pulled in. And also, you know, to take care of yourself. I always consider it, you know, when they're out in active addiction and they don't want to be around you, that's your time to, like, rocky up. I always call it, like, rocky up. It's like a montage. You're running through the streets. You're getting yourself strong and taking care of yourself so that when they come to you, you have the tools. Go to parent support group. Find out what tools are out there. Find out, get connections, so that when that moment comes, you're strong enough to fight, and you know where to go, how to take them to, how to help them to get into treatment, the whole thing.
So. Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, speaking about getting into treatment, Mark and I, we've discussed this a lot. At the moment when the person decides or is pushed to getting in the treatment, you better know where to go. And we talk about, you know, like your poison control on your refrigerator, you should have a couple numbers of different rehabs mm-hmm. because as my experience is, most doctors don't know beans about getting people into treatment. And it's a very difficult process. And at that moment, you know, if somebody can't – Mark, you must see this a lot. Somebody wants to get in the treatment and they can't get in for a certain reason, they're gone again. Right?
Yeah, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And, you know, one of the things that people do a lot of times is they'll say they'll go and then they stall. Mm-hmm. Then they stall. Right. And I try to get them to because a lot of them will do what's called a last stand, you know, where they go out and they go on the biggest run ever. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to get them in treatment, you want to know the place and you want to get them in quick. You want to get them in right then.
Yeah, because that last run could be the end.
Yes, it can.
Stephen, were you closer to your brother or your sister doing all of this?
Throughout my life, just because I feel like the age difference, me and my brother have been very close throughout my life. And it was really hard to see him go. And, you know, my mom talked about when he left after his 18th birthday. That was around the hardest time of my life. I was just about to be 16 years old. And we shared a room for 15 years, played baseball together every step of the way. I felt like, you know, for the most part, every hardship I went through, he went through as well, although he might not be able to say similar because, you know, he's a little bit older than me. But, you know, for the most part, I just like really, really looked up to him. And then it wasn't even the day that he left that was the biggest shocker and, you know, the biggest thing that made me feel upset. It wasn't until that I found out that he was actually shooting heroin that it was really hard for me when I found that out. I think I was just like a month after my 16th birthday. And, you know, I thought everything was over. I thought that my brother and sister were both never going to make it. And when you're in that mindset and you're so convinced on it, to see where they are now and how, like, I'm inspired by them now. I can look up to them now as my older siblings. And that is the greatest, most like humbling feeling in the entire world. It really is. So,
that must make your mom feel really good. Right, Linda?
It really does. I mean, I feel like right now the way things are with Christopher staying sober too, that I'm almost in a dream. And, you know, Stephen's so happy he graduated college, and that was a big accomplishment for him. It wasn't easy going through COVID. He stuck mm-hmm. with it, and we made decisions along the way. But, you know, I feel like, again, in the movie, I think I say I feel guilty for things being this good. And now it's not even – it's so much better than it was during the movie. And so I just feel like there's nothing left to do but to keep doing what we're doing, but then also give back, you know.
Well, look, during the – I mean, when the movie was being shot, your family was in, you know, crisis. Now you're watching the movie now, and you're in a different place. So is that make it what do you feel when you see the movie – do you feel relief that, like, now, boy, it really turned out well?
Well, when I see the movie, the movie, yes, we were in crisis, but that was one of the easier crises. Like, if they followed us the year before, or the year before that, or the year before that, it would have been so much worse. So it was really one of the easier years, I'd have to say.
Like sort of the better of the bad years.
Yes, that's the better of the bad. Yeah, definitely.
Man, I can feel all this. You know, when you said you were – when Christopher was running down the street or walking and you're following him in the car, I remember doing that with one of my kids. Oh, my God.
And with Nicole, it was just constant. I would just – her and I don't know. That's a whole nother – that might be another radio station.
So was it difficult when Nicole had a child? Did that complicate things or did it make it better?
Oh, no, it did not. No, it was very difficult because she was an active addiction. Giovanna's father was an active addiction. It was really difficult.
But was the baby a distraction for you or not really?
Well, at that time, Nicole was living with her boyfriend, her boyfriend's mother. They took them in. The thing with me is I won't take them in active addiction like that. So his mother did. And, what I learned was it doesn't matter if you're doing everything right. There's going to be enablers and you can't do anything about that. You just have to wait. So I just would visit and stay in her life. And I waited. So you wait, like you say, you strike when the iron's hot.
Yeah.
And when that iron was hot, that's when I would moved in. So you can't, you just have to be ready all the time.
It is beyond draining.
Yeah.
Beyond. If you haven't gone through it, you can't relate to it. I mean, you can emote psychologically, but.
Yeah. And when, earlier I said I didn't have friends other than parent support. That's not true. I mean, I have had really great friends in the studio, but I'm talking way earlier. When it was in the beginning, when I was just in, when I just found out that my daughter couldn't go to rehab and in 30 days be well. When I realized that this was going to be a lifelong thing, that's when I really needed those other parents. Yeah.
There's family denial that goes on too, right? You know, when you know, like you said in the beginning, you thought like, hey, she's going to go away 30 days and that's it, right? Mm-hmm.
And then, she had been in others. And when we got her into Karen, we thought, okay, well, Karen's the best. So mm-hmm. once she goes through that, then she's going to be fine. Yeah. I mean, Karen was great, but she still, mm-hmm.
Phone number is 1-888-728-9941. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, Linda, did you have fear at any time that Brian was going to leave? Let's talk about when we come back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HigherCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Linda, I asked you that question about, having fears and anxiety about your spouse leaving, because I had the same thing. I was thinking, like, Margie doesn't need this, you know. She didn't buy into this. And I thought about if it was reversed, would I hang around? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So, definitely. In the beginning, especially because I didn't know when we got married that this was going to be a forever thing. Mm-hmm. So I would feel that maybe he would leave, but because it was early on, you know. He didn't, but I thought maybe he would. But then up until even now, you know, I still deal with these feelings of guilt that, I'm not going to lie and say, you know, everything's perfect. It's not, because he's great. And then I feel guilty because we still have all these other things sometimes. And he didn't create any of it. So you come in when you have this, it's not true. But what went through my head is like you're coming in at a deficit. Right. And you're bringing all your stuff with you.
That's right.
And this man, I still don't know why he's still
around.
Yeah, I don't. But I mean, I'm glad I love him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. I always say he's the lid to my pot. He's just the best. But we're best friends and we talk about that. I think it's at the end of the day, you really don't want to let go of your best friend. And I am that to him, and he is that to me.
Right. He's a pretty cool guy, you know.
Yeah.
I just remember the same things with Marjorie and Sophie. It's like, oh my God, look what I brought her into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, luckily it's good now.
So, right. I definitely felt guilty a lot, and still, you know, he doesn't complain. He's not a complainer. He's also very, we're all emotional. And if you see in the movie, he's not.
I know.
Right?
Yes,
so
yes.
He even said to me, he's like, I look like I have no emotion. I'm like, well, that's you. You don't show it.
Yeah.
And so
that's good. He balanced it out in some way.
He did. But then sometimes I would say, oh, he's not. Maybe he's feeling. I would put all these things in my head that he was thinking that he wasn't thinking. He was just thinking about nothing, really.
Right. Or did you ever think, like, come on, say something.
Oh, yeah.
Or do something here.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely in the beginning sabotage the relationship, try to create fights, because, you know, up until Brian, the only way I knew was craziness, that was love. So I had to learn a different way to love. And I knew it was right. It just took time, you know, to settle into that.
Yeah. If you're just joining us now, Mark and I are speaking with a mom, Linda, her son, Stephen, and they have a movie that's just coming out called Our American Family. It's about addiction in real stuff in people's families. And we're talking about, you know, all the trials and tribulations, all the highs, the lows, the joys, the sadness, what goes on in a house full of addiction. And luckily that as of now, the story is really, really good. I'm talking about your family story. And we're going to really encourage people to check out this movie if it comes to your town, or you can see it on, I guess, Stephen, can you see it on all these things? Tell me what this stuff is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read it off. Tell us what we're doing here.
So, yeah. Today it's going to be in New York Cinema Village. And then also the La Male Monica. So that's in Santa Monica, California, I believe.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're watching from California, I really appreciate it. And New York. Yeah. And then the video on demand platform. So that's the VOD platform.
Oh, video on demand.
So that's what it stands
the
for.
The VOD.
That's yeah, so that's going to be US, you know, Apple TV, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, Canada, Apple TV, iTunes, Google and Play, and then in the UK, Apple TV and iTunes. So, you know, we got a lot of things to look forward to with this film for the most part. And everything that its theatrical release was today. So now we have to look, we have all week to look forward to it getting released on all these platforms. For the past year now, it's like I've been anticipating this week, and everything has just been so awesome, honestly. Like, I couldn't be more grateful for the Edelmans for putting it together. And the fact that our family gets to be highlighted on something so important is just, it means the world to me.
So incredibly important.
For posterity.
And I just wanted you to remind you that it's in October, it's going to be on AMC Plus and the Sundance Channel.
Oh, yeah. Now, who produced this?
Hallie Edelman.
Okay.
And Sean, oh my gosh.
King O'Grady.
King O'Grady.
Okay. He's sharp.
He is. Thank God for Steven.
Oh my gosh.
Thank goodness for
Steven. Listen, we have so many people watching right now. Let me just go through some of these so we don't catch it. Nikki Lazarus, John Reagan, Judge Maddox is watching. I guess he's not up on the bench. William Atchison. I'm so bad with this. Robin Davidson, Robert Brandis, Richard Cameron, a new listener to the show, and nice. I spoke to him by phone. He's a great guy. Laura Story, John Logue, very impressed with Stephen and his mother. We are too. Laura says, hey, guys, happy Sober Friday. We have a blessed weekend and a safe Labor Day weekend, everybody. Gunner's boss is watching. Paul Coaster is watching. My wife Marjorie is watching. Thank you for your honesty, Stephen and Linda. Openness, courage, strength, and message of hope. Main thing. Yeah. Linda Carroll is watching. She was apparently at the showing, and she said it was powerful. I know that. I saw her there. let me see who else. Betsy Kalish is watching. Marjorie says Bryn Mawr will schedule additional dates and soon the film will be streaming on several platforms. Correct? Stephen, I think you said that. Jonathan Orens is watching. Shelley Porter Williams. Hey, I'm glad I caught you guys live. Ann Butler Hickson. Paul Ben is watching. Alice Scott is watching. Veronica Lewis.
Randy Lurch. Former Philadelphia Philly.
Oh, is Randy on here?
Yes,
buddy.
He is.
Good. Allison Scott, hello from Maryland. Let's see. Jan Aloaf Atterborn. Mimi Dorshoe is watching. Pinky Moyer, Ellen Schwartz, Kevin Heyer is watching. I saw this on Tuesday night in Bryn Mawr. I didn't know you were there. All right, we can't keep going with this because we're going to run out of time. Oh, Marcel Devorin Kaufman is watching. My old girlfriend.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. I hope everything
is. I was wondering
well.
Why you pronounced it so well.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Hi, Marcel. how much time we have? 3.5. All right. This interview, this show is extremely important. It is showing people there is hope. And we're not alone. And so many other emotions go on with this that it's you guys need to be commended for being strong enough and comfortable enough to put this out to the public. It's very, very helpful, you know?
Yeah, and it's not easy. You know, from every family I've worked with, when, you know, it comes to family secrets and addiction and all this stuff, it's to be able to get it out there and just show other families they're not alone.
Yeah, well, addiction loves you to hide. It's mm-hmm. basically like saying to addiction, we're going to do this so you can't come into the light. It doesn't survive in the light. Yeah.
So where do you see your family in 5 years? Real quick, we got a minute and a half. Is this guy this incredible son of yours, he's going to be
president.
President or head of some corporation.
Let's hope so.
And your other two kids are doing well, and we just wish, and your granddaughter is doing well. That's what we wish.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, our audience, our listeners, our viewers. Thanks for supporting Mark and I always. Mark, we're glad you're back. And
thank you.
Remember, if your loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com.
Everybody wants to shine.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
System tries.